from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's saying, wonder what I'll talk about on this intro. Wonder what, how will I stop making sense? I never ask, what's the smallest way you can make sense today? I'd say, well, you know, use paper money, hardy har har. But you may be saying, what in the name of the Hardy twins or whoever they are, or Hardy soup, is this gentleman talking about? Well, welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff. But this podcast is very different. Give it a few tries. See how it goes. It's here to be your friend in the deep, dark night to keep you company. But it is a bit different. Does take some getting used to. If you loathe the show already, sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. Has other sleep podcasts and sleepy stuff on there. But most people that are regular listeners that love the show say, honestly, it took me 2 or 3 tries to realize, oh, the podcast will never make any sense. It's hardy and nonsense. It's a wholehearted nonsense. Wholehearted, hardy nonsense. That really is what the show is. But with a side of meanders. So I'm so glad you're here. I make the show because I know what it feels like in the deep, dark night and because you deserve a good night's sleep. What we got coming up here is support for the show so it can come out twice a week for free, but you could also subscribe and skip the commercials. Then we'll have a long meandering intro right after the support that's meant to ease you into bedtime. It's a show within a show. It's most listeners' favorite part of the show, but it's also part of the show the only part of the show most listeners hear. And then we'll have a bedtime story about Great British Bake Off. So I'm so glad you're here, and thanks again for coming by. And here's how I'm able to do it for you for free twice a week. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message, or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Sleepy Supporter Zone, you know, really, like, I want to point out to just to the people who know what the Sleepy Supporter Zone is, I want to thank Sarah, who got a Helix Midnight. You're going to be hearing a lot about Sarah, because I haven't heard from a lot of people. And those of you that have, like, been a part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone in past years, Sarah is your representative right now. And if you're like Sarah, thank you so much, because it can't make the show without the people that support the sponsors and let the sponsors know about it. And, you know, so many people get so much out of this. The majority of people prefer to listen to an ad-supported free version of Sleep With Me linearly. And it's people like Sarah that make that possible. All our sponsors are direct response, meaning they're not just putting ads on the show, like, as a brand thing, or, you know, they, like, look at how many people hear the ads and how many people sign up for a free trial or purchase their product. And so it comes down to, like, how many listeners support our sponsors. So people like Sarah are critical to that. And that's what those Sleepy Supporters, it's a celebratory thing because then everybody that likes to listen to Sleep With Me this way for free, because a lot of people can't afford to support the show or the sponsors. And I know that because I've heard from those people. So it is an exciting thing. And it is, yeah, the supporter zone and the sponsors and stuff, that, yeah, they're meant to be heard as a part of the wind down of the show to make it possible to benefit as many people as possible. And Sarah supported Helix, got a Helix Midnight, took the quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. So thank you so much, Sarah. If you want to be like Sarah, support a sponsor, let them know about it. Let me know about it. Fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thank you, Sarah. All right, everybody. Second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you need extra resources, check out our show notes. There's links to resources you could connect with right now, including international resources. So use those resources if you're in need, please. You're important to me, and I'm so glad to be able to help you fall asleep and take your mind off stuff. But there's other resources out there for you if you need them. It's also about being a part of positive change, taking action, learning more, not just saying support Ukraine, not just saying stop API hate, not just saying Black Lives Matter, but taking action, learning more. There's links where you could do that in the show notes. And the show, you know, I support a few different things. I realize there's a ton of different ways to support a ton of different stuff. I love hearing about the ways you're taking action to support stuff. But if you want to join us, we're supporting the Midnight Mission and people experiencing homelessness in Los Angeles. You could support that. We're supporting the Trevor Project and all of the affirming and saving work the Trevor Project does. And we're supporting the powerful work that Hand in Hand does. Hand in Hand believes that partnership is the only way forward. Together we live hand in hand. And you can check out that and you can learn more in our show notes, any of those organizations. But you're also welcome to take your own action out there in the world and be a part of positive change. And that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley Kenny. Jenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the mystery bar.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through. Listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcript.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget, if you want to get ad-free episodes for free, story-only episodes for free on Sleep With Me Plus, all you need to do is sign up for our referral program, sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer, R-E-F-E-R. Refer people to the free podcast using your link, you know, post stuff on social media, and you'll start earning rewards a few months at a time. That's at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. All right, what do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, you know, things on your mind that you're thinking about. Thoughts that about past, present, the future, or all at once. Or thoughts from the past that are competing with thoughts about the present and the future. But they're, I don't know, are they self, if a thought, like can you, I kind of barely have a base, well, whatever's less than a basic understanding of self-referential thoughts. Well, actually, I don't. Now that I'm talking about it, I realize I have no idea. But the point I was going to try to make was, like, can a thought about the future be self-referential? Or is it referring to another? I say, maybe I could ask that thought that, even though I'm trying to introduce it, you say, okay, so you're thinking about what's we got that coming up and how you're looking at all the possibilities in that, what we have coming up, huh? Let's just use an example. Oh, so we're supposed to travel. And you're a thought about our traveling. And mostly it seems like, and I salute you for this, you're looking at all the possibilities, all the wrinkles in our travel, or even before we begin traveling, that could occur. Packing, planning, sniffles, getting there. You know, so what I was wondering, though, is if you were also, oh, I'm the one thinking this stuff? No, doesn't. I'll be honest with you. For the first time in the history of Sleep With Me, I may have to assert myself here and say, I don't honestly, and I'm not even being, this is no irony or anything. I don't think I'm actually thinking you. And if I've learned anything from meditating, no offense, but you're here of your own volition. And I don't mean that in a way to offend you, but you're an appearance within my mind. But what I was wondering, though, not how you were conceived. Please don't ask me to explain that to you because I have no idea. And, probably get even more awkward. But what I was saying is, do you mind if I call you temporarily pre-travel prep? How about Travi? Okay, Travi. I don't know if you knew this, but I was about 4 minutes into trying to introduce a sleep podcast before I decided to have a sit down with you. But what happened, Travi, was I was saying to listeners what I usually say is thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine, whether you have something coming up or you're going through something. And that's what I was kind of referring to with you. You're one of those having something coming up, thoughts and feelings and physical sensations. You kind of provide them all. You cover a lot of bases, Travi. And you're good at what you do, though I don't think it's suited for bedtime. And I would posit to say, if I'm saying this in a wholehearted, loving way, I don't know if you're suited for, you're probably suited, you're suited for a reality like a hyper reality, right? Right. You cover all the coulds. Okay. And like originally my question for you was, if you were referring to a past thing, would that be a self-referential thought? But I don't, I think, I don't think we've cleared anything up here. And I would say I agree with you, even though you didn't say it on the mic. Travi wants everybody. It's not easy being you, right, Travi? Oh, no. Yeah, I'm sure. You've got all these things to think about. You want to share them with me. Best time to do it is when I lie down to go to sleep. Or, you know, you kind of are saying it in the background 24/7 within a 30-day, you know, time frame of me going anywhere. And I'm sure having those concerns isn't easy. That's not really why I started talking about this, though. But believe it or not, this is what I make a sleep podcast for, Travi. Is, and because of you, even though I don't know who conceived you, and I would say probably there's probably some cosmic material. I don't know if you have any neutrinos in you, because I don't know what one of those is. I would say, even if you don't have dark matter, if I had any dark matter, Travi, I would sprinkle it on you. But yeah, like, I guess this is a chance for listeners to explain why I make the show. If you could, you stick around here, Travi, I could kind of explain it to you and this new listener that's now at your side. Don't worry, new listeners, I won't sprinkle any dark matter or neutrino. Don't worry, I don't. There will be no you. All neutrinos and dark matter are imaginary and based on definitions that are in my mind, which have nothing to do with reality. But so, Travi, like, so I make a sleep podcast where I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, which means my voice is not traditionally soothing. Pointless meanders and superfluous tangents, which means, which we've already seen, I try to talk about something, I get distracted, I go off topic, then I forget, I don't know the definition of something, and then something like you pops up, and that happens to me a lot, Travi. I mean, you've arisen within me. So if I was a universe, you're right, Travi. I don't know if there was a big bang within us, yeah, you're part of me, or you're flowing through me, mate. I mean, that'd be nice if you were just flowing through me, but you do seem to have a play. You seem to be pretty comfortable. You make multiple regular appearances. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I make the show, because I have thoughts and feelings and physical sensations, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep, which a lot of people listening do, but not everybody has all three of them. Some people just have the feelings of the physical sensations, or they don't know why they can't sleep. You know, it can be baffling sometimes. So, what else do you need to know about the show is usually what I say here, Travi. So this is a podcast, and I don't know if, I mean, I'm sure if you've been within me, maybe you've listened to travel podcasts or something, but this is a podcast you don't really listen to. You just kind of barely listen, which is kind of how I'm trying to lovingly handle you sometimes when you make an appearance. I say, oh, okay, yeah, you're worried about it. I could see that. How are we going to get there? Are we going to be on time? Is all the things we count on going to be on time? What are we going to remember? What aren't we going to remember? So I know how that feels, and but I also say, yeah, I can see that. And so this podcast is a little bit like that, but even more passive, where people listen to me like background noise, or they're not involved. Like you and I guess we're part of a team. I wouldn't call it a super team. Unless, like, if there was a competitive neuroses, you'd say, look out, Scoots, I would say, let's not compete. Let's just all, I don't know what, we'd just all try to, like, let's just all hug each other, but without thinking about it. Or let's just all hug our Travis out there. But so, this is a podcast you just barely listen to, almost like an out-of-focus thing, kind of like when we're staring out the window at that thing in the sky, and we're just looking out the window, but we're not kind of paying much. You know what I mean? Yeah, we like doing that, huh? And that's relaxing. Once we're in transit, you really can relax then and stare out the window. So that's one part of the podcast. The other thing is this podcast actually doesn't put anybody to sleep. It's here to keep people company while you fall asleep. I'm here to be your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar best busty, your boar bestie, your boar burr, your neighbor, your boar bra, your friend in the deep dark night, to keep you company while you fall asleep, because there's no pressure to fall asleep on this show or with this show. There's people who are listening who can't sleep or who need a break during the day. So I'm here to the very end, over an hour, plenty of time. Even if you can't sleep, I'll be here. Or if you're sound asleep and you're not listening to me, I'm here to keep you company either way. And there's over 500 free episodes available on demand anytime, so you could get those. So those are two things about the show. The other thing, and this, I say it before, but I'll say it again, Travi, most people don't like the show when they first listen. It's an acquired taste. So you kind of listen at first and you're like, I don't like it, or this is not what I expected. This is a popular sleep podcast. People recommend it, or people search for it, however you discovered it. You get here and you're like, this is not what I thought would be. This is not, I know there were like, this is not, I thought you were going to be counting down. How come there isn't the sound of like golden light or anything like that, like a sound effect like that? And you say, yeah, no, I understand. It's different than what you expected. And it's okay to be skeptical or doubtful or grouchy. That's how most people get to this show. And why wouldn't you? Makes total sense. If you're tired and you tried a bunch of stuff, you want something that works for you on a regular basis, we'll see how this goes and see if it can help you. The reasons I make the show is because I've been there. My relationship with Travi has shown that. But the other side of it is you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve the rest you need so your life is more manageable. You deserve to get the rest so you can be out there flourishing and living your life. And that means your world's a better place, our world's a better place. So that is important to me. That's why I make the show. The other things to know is the structure of the show. The structure of the show is very deliberate, so it can benefit the most people it can, but it is adjustable. But let me explain to you the structure. Travi has maybe fallen asleep, which is great. Dreaming of breezing through and looking out the window of that thing in the sky. Oh boy, is that relaxing. Right amount of puffy clouds. You can see stuff on the ground, but it's just out of focus, but it looks cool. Oh boy, yeah. So, where was I? Structure show. So it starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you feel seen and welcomed in. You say, I might check that show out. Then there's support. So all the work that goes in the show can be supported and the podcast can be free. But if you don't like the support, you could subscribe and skip all the ads. Then there's the intro, which is separate from the support. And I always point that out because sometimes, maybe it's like that the show just won't work, but separate from the support is the intro, which is a show within a show meant to ease you into bedtime. And that's important because the intro kind of, some people fall asleep during it or some people skip it. But for most people, it's part of a easing into bedtime. Like whether you're getting ready for bed, you're doing some other chill activity or you're in bed getting comfortable or something else. We're taking a break during the day. The intro is a slow descent to set you up to get ready to fall asleep. And that's only because that's what most things that I found that work, that actually work. One of them is having a bedtime routine and some wind down. So that's what the intro is. And then also unsuccessfully introduces people to podcasts. And I meet people like I don't want to say their name because they're sleeping. But my travel buddy, like some people have a pre-travel checklist. I have a pre-travel being that lives within me that at some point I'm realistically going to have to sit down. I don't know. What do you call it? Is that a self-perpetuating thought? I don't know what it is, but how do you explain the birds and the bees to something that lives within you that's not a mammal? You'd say, I'm pretty sure Travi's not a mammal. maybe part of my brain stem. I mean, if I'm just guessing, or yeah, some sort of remnant, could be a remnant from like, you know, multi-generational vibration that I've picked up on and revibrated within me. So, I mean, I can't wait for that. I don't know. Does anybody know of any pamphlets or like PSAs that explain when you sit down and you talk to that part of yourself that thinks about traveling before you travel, before it's time to have that talk? I say, what? Like, if I read the pamphlet, I'd say, I don't understand what the, I don't like. I'd have to go to a, I say, can you explain the neutrino thing to me again? It's a, sir, I've never said neutrino in this. This is the 18th class, 36 hours. I've never said the word neutrino. Oh, well, because I was doodling this. I thought these were neutrinos. That's a doodle, sir. Okay. When are we going to get to the part where I talk to the travel? Oh, that's a different class. I've been in the wrong class the whole time. Holy moly. This is a bowling, physics of bowling. Oh, man. Okay, so you could see how I'd made the error then. Okay, I got to go. Well, I might as well see. Is this a, did I, okay. Oh, I'm actually introducing a sleep podcast. Holy, wow. Holy bowling. What in the name, what in the name? Yeah, I don't have any other bowling puns or anything. I'm sorry. Rack it up. Do they rack it up? I think that's in pool. But I don't know. This is like a 7-10. So the heck was I talking about anyway? Oh, structure of the show? Oh, so the intro. I don't know. Was that what I was talking about? So the intro goes on and on and on to ease you into bedtime. And then weird stuff like this comes up. And I think that's why this is somewhat organic and it helps you ease into bedtime. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Is slightly incomprehensible or more so. So that's the intro. Then there's support. Then there'll be a bedtime story, Great British Bake Off coverage. And then there'll be thank yous at the end. So it's the structure of the show. That's why I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. Even if you can't relate or you can, I'm so, if you're new, long-time listener, thanks so much for listening, really. Or checking the show out, give me a few minutes of your time. I work really hard on this podcast. So do a bunch of other people. And we all really hope in your next drive that we can help you fall asleep. And here's a couple ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. There's an Air Doctor humming in the other room right now. You can't hear it, but I know it's there. And I know it's going to be smoky season here in the Bay Area. Not to mention they live by a freeway and a cement plant. And so I love the peace of mind and the easy use that the Air Doctor brings because it just works. It's one of those things, it just works. And you may hear me say this, and I mean it. I love my Air Doctor because Americans spend 90% of our time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. And according to the EPA, indoor air can be as much as 100 times more polluted than outdoor air. And just in my house, that's about 60,000 breaths a day between my daughter, my dog, Koa, and I. And I'm so happy. Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold so my lungs don't have to. Neither do your lungs. And the things I love about Air Doctor, one, it has a night mode where you could turn off all the lights. It has auto mode or you could set the fan speed for what works for you. And I like to have my hair cleaned everywhere, in my room, in my daughter's room, and upstairs in our living room. I really believe you'll love it as much as I do. And they have a bunch of amazing options too now. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. So head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SLEEP, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. And exclusive to podcast customers, you will receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's A-I-R, DOCTORPRO.com and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. All right, everybody, Scoots is back with more Bake Off season or Collection 7, Episode 7, Festival Week. And this episode starts with a really good sequence. Noel is carrying a giant backpack, furry jacket, trying to look warm, green grass, and he's getting ready to do festival week. Oh, he must be going to a music festival, right? So Noel's ready for, loves a good festival. Not Sandy's cup of tea, but ends up Sandy, they do a quick switcheroo. Sandy's in a bag. Thought that was my food. She goes, no, but I brought blueberries. He says, blueberries for a festival? She goes, yeah, if there's a jam session. And he goes, don't ruin my reputation backstage, Sandy. She says, too late. So a cute little sequence. Then we get the teaser, celebratory, layer of pressure, sky shot, talking heads, oh, the walk to the tent. First, we're seeing things not going well. Then, of course, the theme music. Then the sky shot. Then the walk to the tent. 2, 4, 6, 7. 2, 4. Let me back it up here. Great British Baking Show. Sky shot. So just so you know, walking in. And people are looking good. Looks warm today. We have Henry on the left, Michael on the right. Then David and Alice, then Rosie and Steph, and two different vertical stripes on David or Michael, horizontal kind of stripes on David, but more, his colors are more, Michael has like defined stripes on his shirt. What would you say with David's shirt is? Color blocking? His is a rainbow. Roy G. Biv. Red, orange, yellow. Roy G. Biv. Holy moly. So Michael's shirt, or David's shirt goes Roy G. Biv, top to bottom. Shoulders to his hips, I guess. Henry's got a short sleeve blue shirt on with a tie, maybe a knit tie, I can't tell, jeans, and I can't see anybody else. I can kind of see Rosie, looks like a maroon, it could be a dress, or it could be some sort of leggings, and a black sweater. Okay, hit play again. What do we got here? We got the talking heads is what we have. It says indistinct chatter when they're walking in the tent. Michael's glad to get to seven, talking about Steph three times. Steph's talking about that pressure. Alice had a busy work week. 180 exam papers and 150 reports. So not a lot of time to practice. And I understand them wanting to express that because you say, hey, this is like, I got a lot of work to do and I'm trying to be a great British baker and baking off. So on a show, so hard week, no, everybody comes out. I think Scoot's going to tell me to pause it for, so the thing with David's shirt is it looks totally different under his jumper, because, okay, but so Paul has two buttons open on a blue shirt. It could be a denim shirt. Two buttons open. Then Prue has on, is that layered or no? No, I don't think it is. Yellow kind of lemony necklace and a matching bracelet on her right arm. And then a sweater, which, has a pink section, and then the arms have what I would say is a coral section. And then black and white stripes at the top. Sandy has on an Oxford shirt, I would say. That's what I'd call it. With yellow, with blue stripes maybe, or gray stripes on white. But then the bottom of the shirt and the before her cuffs are yellow, which actually looks good. It's not the same yellow as Prue's, but it still does look good. And then I don't know what Noel's wearing, to be honest. Not how to describe it, because it almost looks rubbery. He has on some sort of black pullover jacket with stars around the collar. And it looks good on him, but I just don't know. I'd guess that it's some sort of rainproof material. Kind of looks bikery, but it's a little like... Also, I don't know. Okay, so the 24 yeasted festival buns, celebratory breads that you might have at different celebrations. Each bun must tell a story, even if it's like that Paul's, you know, eating the buns, get ready, get set, bake. So everybody starts, you know, yeasting and flouring. Henry says it smells like a brewery. 24 buns represent any country and festival in the world. It has to be related to a festival, light, full of punch, flavor. And Prue talks about the hot cross bun in Eastern England, but those have to be yeasted. And there has to be spice and other flavors that are uniform, flavored, textured beautifully, delicious buns. And Steph's doing a hot cross bun. Lemon zest is plenty of spice. Orange zest and spice hot cross bun. Cranberries and sultanas when it comes to flavor. Could she get a triple baker star status? No pressure. A lot of cinnamon going in there. Michael and Alice are also doing hot cross? I don't know. Yeah, they're also their own spins on the Easter classic. Alice talks about her grandparents, springtime baking, thought of something a bit fresh, maybe put a twist on it. So lemon, blueberry, almond hot cross buns. That does sound tasty. Freeze-dried blueberries, lemon curd glaze. Bruce says, really? Lemon curd? Paul just stares. I'm going to heat it up and make it runny. It's going to be sticky. Oh, yeah, just like a hot cross bun. Interesting. All right, good luck. Thank you. Michael's doing a hybrid bun. Figgy pudding, hot cross bun. So Easter and Christmas festivals paired with marzipan, holly, berries, and leaves, orange and lemon zest. So that's sultanas, cranberries, dates, and apricots, brandy. So where's the figs from the figgy pudding? Prue says, he's got those. Yes, I got them. 500 grams of fruit. Well, how much flour? 1 kilo. That's a lot of fruit, isn't it? Is that right? Paul just stares at him. Michael cracks up. Thank you very much. Sandy says, at least he's helping your confidence. Seeing Michael later talks about how Paul could play poker. And we got the doughs being mixed. Careful balance. Got to get the spices. Can't inhibit the yeast. Got to prove it. Don't want it like to be brick-like. You don't want thick, dense buns. Raisins. David's talking about. David's is very. He's doing Kozanak, traditional lemon. It's from Bulgaria. It's a. Lemon and almond Easter bread, because he's got, you know, his older brother and his wife live in Bulgaria, and David's partner comes from Bulgaria, so they've helped out the flavors, and he says, mine's going to be good. And then Wallace, David's is celebrating in Eastern Europe, Henry's going to Sweden, I don't know how to say his, Cinnamon Bun Day Festival, the 4th of October. So it's going to be cinnamon swapped for cardamom, sugar, and a classic cardamom bowl or something shape. They say, Henry, Lord of the Buns. Do you like festivals? Henry says, I've been to a book festival. That's about it. but not a music festival. Old Noel's giving him a hard time. Proving time now, 30 minutes. So everybody starts proving. Prove it again. Then you have to prove it again. And then you got to work on your festive fillings and decorations. Lemon candying. Rosie's enriching her buns. Namlaka. Pastry cream. Milk, double cream, gelatin, lemon zest, liquid glucose, white chocolate. So not very rich buns. They're joking. Here's our Mardi Gras finish peacock buns. Raspberry jam, candied peacocks. And they say festival peacocks. Is that a thing? Oh, yeah. Have you worked with a peacock before? Never worked with a peacock. Maybe you could take it for a walk. Then we get outside, boom shot. Sandy and Noel are wearing celebratory masks. And halfway through, people are checking the proving, seeing how the rise is going. This enriched dough, you got to rise it. I don't know. Oh, it's got to bounce back or not bounce back. I don't know. Paul's watching. Steph watch her food. And Michael sneaks his out. David's is out. You don't want it to crack when baked, I guess. And Baker's only halfway there. They're working with their doughs because before you have to shape it before you prove it again. So everybody has a different method. But Henry has to twist it. So he's like, it's going to be hard to have them identical. And let's see. Who's that? Paul's just watching David work from like a few feet away. Prue's watching Michael very quietly. Then Henry shows his bun twisting method to Noel, which is very, he says, man, that blew my mind. So then we see the birds, some flowers. Noel does another Sandy joke about being in a bag, 1 hour remaining. So people are trying to prove their buns and how they're shaped. Noel really tries to talk Alice's ear off. And she's like, yeah, I've been busy. She's really trying to work while he's chatting. And she goes, I'm so sorry. He goes, all right, well, good luck then. Michael works on a brandy glaze, Steph's sugar and spice, lemon curd, honey, maple syrup, a brown sugar, cardamom for Henry. Noel jumps up. He was looking in Rosie's oven. Maybe I'll have a cape. Should I wear this for the judging? He's got some sort of peacock mask on or something. Okay, so they come out of the proof, and everybody's like, is this ready? David's doing some egg washing. Flour and water for high cross buns. I didn't know that was, I thought it would have been glaze. Sandy's got wings on, half hour left maybe. So we've got to go in the oven now. People's hearts are racing. 200 degrees, 18 minutes, David. Somebody at 15 minutes for Alice. Michael's are starting to crack. Maybe they're underproofed. Steph's in front of her oven. Oh, Henry does, goes, this is the best thing I've ever done. He does like a hacky sack with a lime or a nut or something. Okay, Henry's like, mine look baked. Michael takes his out. Alice's are out. Rose's are like, mine are getting there. Some of David's got stuck. 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Henry's got a glaze in the tin. Steph's trying to glaze hers. Same with Michael's is evaporating. Rosie's have frosting, which is nice. I mean, if I was going to eat a bun, maybe like a cream puff or something. So they're trying to get everything looking nice as well, putting them in, you know, baskets or stuff. Time's up. Place your buns at the end of your stations. And everybody's like, oh boy, did I do okay? We get a shot of more Mardi Gras masks. And now Paul and Prue will decide if the festive buns are worth celebrating. Start with David Kozanek, I think is what it says. It's very good. A couple minutes less, maybe. A little dark on the bottom. But the shapes are amazing. They look really good. Soft, springy cake. Nice texture. They start to take a bite. Paul really goes, okay. Prue's like, I like the saffron and the sugar. Paul's like, this is a nice dough. Flavor's fantastic. Structure's good. Just needs some more fruit in the middle. But very good. I'm impressed. Then they go to Michael's. He has a dip in the middle, too, I think. I guess a sugary dip. Bit uneven, Prue says. Misshapen volume of the fruit, eh? Well, let's take a look. Hopefully we get one that's got the right amount of fruit. They're very shiny, look nice. Tough, a little tough, but flavor spot on. Nice, warming, balanced. Does taste like figgy pudding, delicious. Then they go to Steph, zest and spice. They're shiny and attractive. And Prue's mouth is watering. Smell amazing. Let's have a look. Okay, distribution of fruit is good. Two halves in the middle. Texture's perfect. Lovely. Sticky, you know. You can taste, feel it on your fingers. Okay, and Paul gives her a handshake. Everybody's like, holy cow, well done, Steph, well played. Alice is next. I think hers is on a chalkboard, too. They look similar, a little difference in the color. Okay, blueberries in the middle. Nice texture. Did you candy the lemon peel? Yes, it took me a while. Bruce says you needed to give it more time. It's bitter, Paul says. No sweetness. Lemon curd glaze is not shiny enough, but you baked them well. Just an irregular color size. They do look homemade, but Prue is, she's not pulling. Then Rosie's next. Lovely color, highly decorative. Good look, good in the shop window. They're a bit flattish, squat. Pretty consistent on the color. There's the jam. Paul takes a bite. Prue takes a bite. Nice flavor. Look at that crumb. See, what happened was it got compressed when you dug it out for the filling. You kind of pressed them down. So, but it's present. It's a donut texture, which is nice. I think you've done a great job. Well done. And Noel says, I feel like I'm a mama peacock and these are my babies. Then we go to Henry, his chocolate cardamom thing, stable color, irregularities in the size. They look interesting, though. I'd try one if it was in a shop window, Bruce says. Paul takes a bite, cuts it again. Okay, thank goodness. I think your flavors are good, bakes good, technique's good, flavor's lovely. Just a size difference. But nevertheless, Paul puts his hand out. Henry says, shut up, to give him a handshake. And they say, we don't think you to tell the judge to shut up. No one's ever said shut up on a handshake, Noel says. Henry says, it made my month. I can go now. I'm happy. I could leave this week. Steph says, I'm not going to wash my hands after that, getting that handshake. Michael's happy for his friends. They didn't do as well as other people, but... And I'm a little nervous about the technical, but let's have fun. So we get an outside shot. Now this was what they couldn't practice. Mystery, technical mystery lies ahead. Set by Paul. Any words of advice? Perfect textures inside and out. Off you go. We're going to play in Paul's soft play area. 12 Sicilian cassatelle, a carnival, Italian carnival, pastry crescents, smooth and creamy ricotta, orange chocolate, and fried till crispy and golden, uniform in size. And your marks get set, bake. Cassatelle, never had them before. So no one even knows what they're making. They are deep fried, and there's a pasta machine. So like fried sweet ravioli? I don't know. But yeah, they kind of look more like an empanada. Beautiful pastries. You got chocolate and orange in there. Nice and thin. Little hand pies, I guess would be another way, but you fry them. If you don't roll your pastry the right way, like it'll burst open and the ricotta will pour out. Prue tries one. Yeah, it's full of filling. And you want ricotta going all the way through it. Nice grit, no grittiness, nice and orange. Great with tea. Prue says more marsala. Fryer set to 170. Nobody likes working with these deep fryers. Trying to do this from memory. Soft, pliable dough. It's very simple ingredients. I wonder if I could freeze it on there. Let's see if I can. Okay, yeah, I got it freezed. Paul's chocolate. Please do not confer with the other bakers. For the filling, 250 grams of ricotta, 50 grams icing sugar plus extra for dusting, freshly grated the zest of one orange, and 50 grams of chocolate, dark chocolate chips chopped. For the dough, 250 grams plain flour sifted plus extra for dusting, 50 grams caster sugar, finely grated zest of one lemon, one large egg, 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 1 tablespoon lemon juice, 1 tablespoon marsala, and water. And that's it. Those are the instructions. Maybe more like pasta dough, huh? I don't know. So no, everybody's just trying to get it made. No idea how much water goes in either. Stiff and pliable. What does that even mean? A David's dough starts to look good. So does Michael's. Stuff's kind of comes together, divide it in 4, chill it, then sieve the ricotta and then make it smooth. Back to Derek, getting liquid out of cheese, Michael says. What a joy. Sicilian cassatete or whatever, Noel jokes. I wasn't paying attention when they announced the competition, so he goes, my head was just going la, 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 la. Never sieved ricotta, says, Alice. Might take a couple of sievings. I need to sieve some cheese, Henry. Never thought he'd say that. Sieve some cheese. I feel the need. My name is Neve. I feel the need to sieve. I will achieve a sieved cheese. So everybody's mixing up their fillings. And then Noel talks to Steph about getting a handshake. What was Paul's hand like? Was it manicured? Was it powerful? Was it soft? Vice grip? Did everything start spinning around? Yep, and Prue levitated. You can see the sun going down. Now Prue has on, Sandy has on like a pom-pom, and Paul had on like a fruit hat. Now you got to take a piece of dough, run it through the pasta machine to make the pastry. Trying to find there. No one's used this machine before. Maybe one or two people have, but it's like, how do you even do this? Which I guess you feed it through again and again and again. But Steph's is not coming out good. Henry's is not coming out good. David's is coming out great. Michael's looks good. Alice's is a little thick. Henry changes his settings. Rosie's not having a problem. Henry's like, I need 3 hands. So Sandy tries to help him. He's like, turn it clockwise, please. So she's like, you're really bossy. She has so much fun, and so do the contestants. And then you crimp the edges with, you make circles, crimp the edges with a fork. And fill it and seal it, but don't overfill it, like a ravioli. Oh, seal it with water and then crimp the edges. Some people are already getting leakage, but it's like, what can you do? And fry. And David says, last time we had fryer, did not go well for me. How hot is it? People start putting it in. You got to flip it at 3 minutes, maybe. I don't know. Michael's drops to the bottom. David's is like, mine's browning. Henry's puff up a lot. Jiminy Christmas, somebody says. It's like a jacuzzi in there. And then they're like, well, how well do we have to get them done? Rosie's kind of like puts up with Noel. David talks about his favorite fish and chips in Whippy. That's his inspiration for frying there. Looks like Alice's have burst open and Michael's. Theirs are puffing up and trying not to lower the temperature of the fat. How long we got? 15 minutes. Noel and Sandy are sharing a feather boa. Kind of a bright red one. What is that? Purple? Everybody's running around trying to get this done. And people are like, mine aren't uniform. Trying to stay calm. A lot of them have opened up. So it's not going great for anybody. Everybody's trying to eyeball them. 12. Do I have 12? People are, you know, trying to fry down to the last minute. And your time. They say, please take your time. So Sandy buys some time. She says, T-I-M-E. This is how you spell time. And you are done. Michael exhales. Everybody's like, that did not go well. Bring your Sicilian pastries up. Put them on the table. 12 beautifully filled fried cassatelle. Okay. No idea who's is who, so start with David's. Uniform, sealed, look lovely. Could use more filling. There's air holes in there, but great flavor. Looks lovely, tastes lovely. Nice shape, very good. Next up is Rosie. Lost a bit of them, but delicious filling. Really good. Crispness in the shell, like that. Pretty good. Then Alice, these popped open, puffed up, kind of like seafood. Big air pockets, thick pastry, overfried. Then Michael, not sealed, couple have opened up. Not much filling, all pastry. It would have been, should have been thinner. Steph's all overfried, but sealed, not uniform. Overcooked, too thick. Pastry was too thick. But at least they're sealed. Then Henry, nice and light, pretty good. Some have burst, so. But they don't look too bad. And they're full. Decent amount of filling, nice thin pastry. So then they're actually trying to figure this out. They go back and forth. And let's see, we got sixth place is Alice. And that didn't go well. Fifth place, Michael. Bit soggy. Steph fourth, Henry third. Second place is David. And Rosie's in first. And like David, man, David always ends up in second, huh? But yeah, it's a nice work. So Rosie's happy, won a technical. Had to run a fifth, so I'm super happy. Second again, David says, I rappel first, I got second. Michael's like, I'm not really confident now. Today's showstopper's hard. Hardest in 7 weeks. Alice says, at least I made it to the end of the day. I'm starting in the bottom. So tomorrow we'll see. Sunsets, sunrise, sun in the sky, walking into the tent, warm. Everybody goes to their workstations, jumpers on, who will leave the tent, who will be star baker, table talk, detecting a change in atmosphere. You're almost smiling. Henry did well in the signature. He did tell you to shut up, shut the door, was sweet. Signature was good, but technical was difficult for most people. Alice and Michael on the bottom. Alice took a gamble. Alice is getting more and more disorganized. They're talking about that Alice's bench isn't clean and organized. Little spills. David's the neatest, neat as a pin. They talk about the buns. Never thought I'd hear you say that. So then everybody has their hands folded. They're ready. Showstopper time, everybody. Cake of lapis Sarawak. It's an original flavorful cake from the Sarawak region of Malaysia. Cultural and religious celebrations. Precise layers grilled. Grilled? Yeah, this is grill off. Cake is cut and reassembled for intricate patterns. 4 hours and 15 minutes. And your marks get set bake. So everybody starts getting their butter ready. And this one went from, it started in Malaysia, I guess, or started in Indonesia. And then they took it across the Sarawak. Michael knows where they added the color, colorful cakes in Malaysia. Paul talks about it's complicated. So that's like a layer cake. Many layers, many different colors, different flavors with thin batter. So you batter it, grill it, which is kind of like broiling in this case, and then cut it into shapes so they resemble like fantastic patterns. Difficult to do. And probably never done something like this before. One of the hardest cake designs to make. Nowhere to hide. So that's the good news. Multiple cakes to make, layer upon layer of sponge, a lot of eggs. 14 times 3 is the number for Rosie. Complex challenge, for sure. Henry, 110 eggs in one day when he was practicing. Lemon-lime Sarawak cake for Henry. How many layers? He's like, well, I got a couple drawings. Top of the cake, a cake on the side. Everybody laughs. Maybe I shouldn't have shown this to you. Because if you don't achieve it, and you're going to redraw it if the cakes don't come out that way? Maybe. Elegant present box. Contrasting blocks, yellow and green, mint, raspberries, lemon, lime. 6 to 7 lemons in each batch. Lemon zest. And they have to be flawlessly designed, but also use a spice. Oh, no, David's using a cardamom, nutmeg, and other spices. So everybody's trying to spice their cake the right way, too, because when you grill it, I guess the flavors go out of it. Michael's going to use liquor in between the layers, spiced rum. Some of them use almond liquor, but I said, well, maybe rum will work. 4 hours, we'll see. Michael's making a Jamaican mule Sarawak cake, rum, lime, marzipan, rum and ginger sponge, Jamaica's national flag, royal icing swirls, 6 layers on each cake. So 6 times 4, 24. Well done. And they said, that was pretty tentative. You're 24, but he says, well, I was doing the maths. Now, Michael, let's see, other people, Steph's using orange liquor, which her grandmother likes, so it's orange and chai, revitalized cake, marzipan roses, royal icing, chai spice layer, orange sponges. Try to do triangles, but they're hard to manipulate, so I reverted back to lines, Steph says. Henry also tried triangles. They didn't work. Rosie's sticking with triangles, though. So Rosie's going for 8-layer cakes, then triangle, then another triangle, then a diamond pattern. Beyond my understanding, she's working with her yolks, rainbow Sarawak style, sugar glass birds, nectarine jam, lemon mixed spice sponge. And it's a thing because you don't want it to be edgy rubber if you overcook it. And Noel loves the edgy rubber. That could be a band we're in. You sing and drums, I'll do guitar, edgy rubber, like Simon and Garfunkel. I'll book some gigs at the festivals. She says, okay. But everybody's trying to, you got to have your sponge, you got to have the layers, you got to get the colors right. It can't be dull. Really bright, garish, over-the-top colors. Pink, green, and yellow for Steph. Sandy tastes one of her. She says, it's delicious. I didn't think that's what the pink would taste like. David's doing one of his cakes is going to be monochrome, and then the other one's going to have color throughout. So he's doing kind of like postmodern sculptures of Indonesian spice mix, royal icing, tamarind honey, postmodernist work of art, like a sculpture. And the color one, everybody loves. He says, it was inspired by a Peru necklace from last season. So, and then the gray represents Paul. So they all have a laugh, but everybody's, you know, a little bit stressed, trying to do these layers, very thin. Alice is doing a carnival Sarawak cake. So in Alice's hometown, there's a big fireworks display in Essex. So you'll say, oh, you're from Essex? I didn't know that. So what are you trying to say about Essex? So he laughs. Chocolate orange salted caramel kaleidoscope Sarawak cake. Firework, isomalt fireworks, chocolate marzipan. And then they start making the layers. Okay, let's puff it up. How long are you going to grill it for? Have to be careful. Maybe a couple minutes. Okay, thank you very much. I'll still be here layering. Thank you. Michael's working on it. People are starting to put it in the oven. And because you have multiple cakes. I mean, this is hard. There's multiple layers and multiple cakes. So you're trying to cook it under direct heat, which can be tricky to control, they say. No idea what temperature to make it work at. And if you overcook, it'll be rubbery. Undercook it, the layers will collapse. So everybody's trying to guess when it's done and not have it burned. David's first one is burned, so he has to throw it away. Henry burns his finger. Not badly, just enough to jump. Noel and Sandy have birthday party hats on and noisemakers, party whistles, they call them. And layer number two for Rosie. Michael's putting rum in between his layers. He doesn't want him to get too wet. Steph weighs her layers out, so I have the same depth. Can it be identical? Everybody's asking. Four more layers left on one cake for Alice, or Rosie. David even tells him, yeah, I burned my first ones. Henry's trying to make jam. Michael's working on curd, lemon curd. Wallace still working on decorations. Alice is like blowing these glass, like candy glass. Seth's making marzipan. Alice is making bonfires. Even David talks about Alice's workstation. Noel puts a bowl on his head, almost drops it. Says, look at this. I'm like a painting. Kind of like one where the eyes move. Alice is like, dude, I'm trying to work here. Don't you enjoy our chats? 11. Okay, then Henry smells something burning. Definitely burning, David says. Not me. And ends up, it's Rosie. Something must change in her settings because she said it was only in there for a few minutes. She says, well, there's nothing I can do about it now. I'm going to have to bin it. All my layers are going to be thinner now. So she's down. 1 hour left. So Rosie has to start her last cake all over again. I have to watch it closely. David's getting ready to finish up. Everybody's about to find out if their layer cakes have layers. And Henry's does, so he jumps for joy, not raw. David's does. His looks cool, too. Alice's looks pretty good. And so everybody starts cutting their cakes. Henry's measuring with a ruler. David's using a bread cutter, which is a good idea. I think Michael has something, and Rosie also has a ruler, bread slicer, perfect bread slices. People are starting to assemble their cake pieces together. Not perfect, but it'll have to do. And do you think that's a little small? Well, don't know what you're going to write. So David's looks, so his cake isn't as big as he wanted it. Rosie's trying to cut and make triangles now. Which is like, holy cow. So she's got like some sort of right angle thing. And people are singing, I got a cake, I need it decorated. An hour left. We got to have something. Lime King, marzipan. Everybody's starting to decorate their cakes. They're stressed. Dave's like, not much I can do. I didn't have all my layers. So the decorations are going on. People are hoping they made a recovery. People start icing, spraying, assembling. Time is up. So then everybody says, oh boy. And they say, well done, kids. Don't worry. Hugs go around. Tent shot. Outside shot of the grass. Cake shots. Sarawak style layer cakes. Now face the judgment of Paul and Peru. Steph goes first. Hers is that orange and chai revitalized cake, open sides, which I think most people do to show it. They say your blocks are rotated, so you need kind of filling in between your blocks because there's big gaps there. Almost grout around it would have made it neater. But the style is Sarawakian. Looks lovely, Peru says. And they take some bites of it. Delicious, soft, very good. Marzipan's brilliant. Delicious. Decoration's good. Well done, Steph. Thank you. Thank you. Then a rainbow Sarawak style cake from Rosie. And look at that. Okay, it looks messy, Bruce says. Rosie, not neat at all. You can see the colors. They're vibrant. Let's take a look inside. Complicated pattern to try. And I take a couple bites of it. It's tasty flavor, that jam, nectarine. Can't identify it. It gives it a little zing, though. It's nice. Idea sound enough, but it could have been executed better. But you did a lot of work. Then Michael's up. And his cake, the top of it definitely looks like a flag. Some of his are monochrome layers. So they say, geez, your top and your bottom they look rubbery and there's no color. Well, I drizzled rum. Okay. But they are layers. They're just the exact same colors. They cut his cake. But yeah, he had to do it because he's doing the color of the flag. Bruce says it's stodgy, claggy, Paul says. Probably the soaking was a bad idea. It's almost like one thing now, very dense, rubbery. Overall, it looks wonderful, Bruce says, but pity about the texture. Thank you. So Michael's a little down. Henry's next. Kind of nods. See, what's this? Cake on cake. Okay, a lot of cake there. All cake, eh? Well, that's clever. Looks like egg sandwiches for afternoon tea. Henry's like, totally. That's what I wanted to go for. So Sandy shakes his hand. Then they cut a piece of cake. Everybody's laughing. They tasted a nicely textured cake. Not stodgy. Lemon and lime comes through. Really nice. I'm impressed, Paul says. Not perfect, but executed pretty well. And you do get a nice flavor. And not rubbery. Breaks apart like a cake would, even when it's cut into pieces. So pretty good job. So Henry's very happy. David's up next. They say, okay, your cake looked a little small there. It's interesting, but, he says, yeah, I lost a cup. I mean, it's supposed to be for a party, a big cake. They give Sandy a hard time, and he goes, yeah, I had some issues with layers, so lost some layers, but the lines look great. Color, definition, amazing. Paul takes a bite. Prue takes a bite. Nice and spicy. Could be a bit sweeter. A bit rubbery. But perfectly edible. He goes, I like the flavor and the neatness of it. Very neat. Just not sweet enough. Just more icing or something. Okay. And they say, geez, this is extremely neat. Details incredible. This is for Alice. Okay, lines are beautiful. Lines on top. Painting, decorations, fireworks look good. Looks a bit dry. That's my only concern, Paul says. Layers is so thin, Prue says. Almost looks like weaving. Pretty clever. And Paul looks at it as one piece. He says, this is very good. Is there almond in there? Tastes like marzipan. Works well. Gives it that petite four flavor. Almond texture. Exceptional. Vibrant, artistic. Very good. Really works. Well done. Well done. She takes hers off. She says, phew, in the talking heads. You never know. She says, Alice says, I don't know, you know, maybe I saved myself, maybe not. Henry's like, if I got Star Baker, that would be nice. Tick off my list of being here, be a little bonus. But he goes, Paul got me back. Fair play. You're telling each other, shut up. Henry's like, I got a grilling, but I held that pun in. And he goes, I don't know. Okay is not enough at this point. David says, me, Alice, Michael, Rosie, we all had positives and negatives, so anybody could go. It's really close, I think. So then we see the outsides of the tent, some bunting even, and we go to table talk. Rosie's was messy, but maybe she put herself in trouble, but it was ambitious. It was complicated and difficult. But she didn't succeed. Too bad, Prue says. Michael's was neat, but you weren't impressed, huh? No, the layers ran together. Then we look at David's, how neat David's is. It's a shame that it was rubbery. But Henry's was good. The cake on cake. It taste was good. Lemon lime. Perfect combo. Colors balanced. And Steph, she said that she could have filled it in better, but her colors were there. And Alice did a great job in this one. She was in trouble coming in. Maybe she saved herself with a good cake. So Star Baker, well, Rosie and Michael are in trouble. Alice saved herself. So any of the other three Paul says could be Star Baker, Henry, Steph, or David. So then we zoom in. All bakers are sitting there, see their faces, you know, profiles. Michael gulps. Everybody steps out. Noel gets to say who won. So he says, yeah, Star Baker. Steph's like staring down at Henry with excitement. And the Star Baker is, and Steph's still staring. She's very happy for Henry. Henry. So Henry's happy. Everybody's happy for him. And he says, shut up. I'm just kidding. Sandy's got to say who's leaving. Gets so hard now. And she's crying because we're all crying because we love this contestant. But the person who's leaving, there's a long pause, is Michael. And he says, I'm sorry. Everybody says, I'm sorry. He says, it's okay. Everybody's crushed. Michael says, it's okay. He goes, my head is held high. I'm proud. I'm tired. So happy. He's trying to laugh. Going out laughing. That's brilliant. Alice and him are really hugging it out. Because I wish I was a pretty crier, like in a French film in black and white when it's raining. But he goes, I'm crying because of a Keck Lapis Sarawak. Michael and Paul hug. Yeah, standard's getting better. We liked Michael, but from now on out, it's a different standard of baking. Henry's happy. That's my tick list. I don't need to do any more. I've ticked everything off. And Alice is crying. Noel's crying. Alice says, yeah, I'm gutted Michael left. I'm really sad. He was so supportive. And I wouldn't have got this far without him. And some people are happy to be going through, but they're sad for Michael. Week 8 of Bake Off, Alice says, hold what? And that's the end of the episode. Another good episode. In fact, just recording this episode, I'm feeling sleepy. So good night, everybody. I want to thank GM, who said, I love the podcast so much. Never lets me down. Even in the nights when I'll never fall asleep. It's comforting and helpful and all around amazing. Also want to thank Trav, who said, I subscribed. It was a free listener, but then I got rid of the ads, made it even better. And I've never subscribed to a podcast before. I'm usually counting sheep. By the time the intro's done, it's magic. Rargy says, great for getting to sleep. Strange podcast, but what, once you accept the odd presence premise of it, you don't listen to the story, you fall right to sleep. It's like having an odd show on without the lights. An old show on without the lights. Story will knock you out. There's never a point. Never goes anywhere. Just relax. Someone else put someone else put something in code. 5 stars, but it's in code. And then Fun said, like the show, but don't like the ads. Yeah, that's optional. We actually don't change our voice, but the ads do have to get heard. It's kind of like the hard part of making a free sleep podcast, but what else we got? Give it a chance. This from E-Train. I'm one of those who got confused at first, but he's totally right. It grows on you. So yeah, thanks everybody for reviewing the show. I'm glad the podcast can help be there. Because it's a free show because people support the show directly or support our sponsors. And it grows the show by people writing reviews or sharing their honest experience with the podcast. So I really appreciate all of you that do that. And here's either a Tuck You In sponsor or Scoots. And that's how we've been able to keep growing those archives. Thanks and good night, everybody. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my weeks in review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have 4 podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalix, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalix, so that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.